The Lord is my light and my salvation. It's from Psalm 27. It's very close to Psalm 23, but for me personally, because of the beauty of the words and a message of the Lord being light and salvation, is one of my top five psalms. It articulates and helps us think about how God really does journey with us and wants us to anticipate always the greater gifts, which is the kingdom even of heaven. In addition to that, as we think about the concept of light, we know that the first reading also has a similar wording that ends up in the gospel today. So in different instances, Jesus quoted the major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, and today it's one of those instances. But Isaiah was written about 400 to 500 years before Jesus came in flesh to be with us. But his prophecy was that at the time, the people at times experienced darkness and hardship and different struggles, and that he, as the prophet, was reminding people that sooner or later they will see a light, they will see a sense of hope, something good coming. And so then, as Jesus arrives as God's son, and then he especially begins his public ministry after John the Baptist is arrested, Jesus comes revealing that gift of light by his presence. A light that somehow wants us to know of God's wisdom and love, his guidance, his care, even his healing power. We know also that light is a gift. So if we didn't have electricity, we at least have the sun today, which is a wonderful gift. But to think of, even if we watch the weather, the news, that some people might be truly sitting in darkness because of the natural disaster of a harsh storm that's going eastward. And to think of people being in darkness and how we naturally long for light, because it somehow not only blesses us and empowers us, but it somehow gives us life. And so the light of the nations, as Jesus reveals himself, is one that also calls us then to follow the path. And so as Jesus begins to preach, his message is quite clear. But a story that might help us remember one of the ingredients and maybe requirements for Jesus and for being a disciple. There's a story about Don O'Malley. He was known as a painter. He had a business. And most of the time, he got the bid because he gave the lowest bid. He also had a certain method that he maybe would thin the paint just a little bit more, so it would go farther, and thus he was more profitable. It so happened that a country church needed to be repainted, and he got the bid. So after working hard all week, he finished the job, and that very night there was a terrible thunderstorm, and it rained buckets and buckets. And the paint on the church, though, started to wash off. And the pastor began to find out and recognize that something was wrong. And so he called Don O'Malley in and says, "There's something wrong." And so he said, "Yes, Father, I'll take care of it." But then he began to kind of ask God, "Why is this happening to me? Why now?" And God said, "This is your punishment for cheating the church and maybe other people whom you have done business with." And he finally said, "Well, how can I make it up to you for what I've done?" And God said, "Repaint, repaint, and thin no more." It's a stupid story, but it helps us think about sometimes doing something over again, but doing it right and with the best intentions. And when we think about Jesus giving us the call, and as he announces the kingdom, he follows the pattern of John the Baptist saying, repentance and making a change is what helps us kind of realign our lives that we can follow Christ and know him and then embrace his teaching, his ways, his values. We then hear in the gospel that as Jesus then makes that acclamation, he also says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Matthew's gospel, that's going to be a familiar term that's going to be repeated at different times. Rather than some of the other gospels say the kingdom of God. For Matthew, it's the kingdom of heaven. But it's honoring God because God is a sacred name. But either way, he reminds us that somehow in the midst of our lives, as we journey as disciples and people of faith, that God's presence is very close to us, very near, especially when we pray and celebrate our faith, but even as we try to live by God's great commands of love and mercy and compassion. And thus, we'll hear more about that as the gospel continues to unfold during this liturgical year. But in addition to the call of repentance, we also hear Jesus then invite and call his first disciples. Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And then we know that he walks along a little farther along the Sea of Galilee, and he calls Zebedee's sons, James and John. And I thought it would be good for a moment just to share with you a couple things about my call and my own vocation. So I wasn't mending a net when Jesus called me, but I was about in third grade, and I made my first Holy Communion, and I began being an altar server. And within a first month of experiencing the gift to serve God and his people, but being very near to the altar and being intrigued and fascinated by the priest who celebrated these mysteries that were meant to nurture our faith, that all of a sudden a certain voice said, maybe you should be a priest. And thus my call really began then. And I told the pastor, and he was delighted and saying, well, keep praying and try to do good things, and especially study, which sometimes wasn't always my strongest point. But I realized that it was something very mysterious. And then as I went through grade school, my family knew, different people kind of said, well, you know, we'll see what happens. I got in the junior high, obviously, took different classes, also discovered many things, including the beauty of women and many God's people. And then I also knew that as I got to high school, that time was getting close where I had to make a decision. And so when I was a senior in high school, I remember visiting a seminary and really then got connected with the vocation director of the Archdiocese and signed up to go to seminary college at Conception. And it was a big move because a lot of my classmates were going to different colleges, so they were going in a different direction than I. But I also struggled because my older sister, the one above me, went into the military, and I thought maybe God was calling me also to maybe serve my country. But I gave my first attempt to say I'll follow God's call and go to the seminary. And so that's what I did. I studied for 4 years and got my bachelor's degree and then prepared, and they felt I was at least somewhat of a suitable character and somebody who would be willing to possibly learn more, that I got into major seminary at Mundelein in Chicago, the same seminary the new archbishop went or attended. And then I studied for 4 more years. Ironically, after I got ordained, after several years, God had a plan, so he also allowed me to serve in the military. So I was a reserve chaplain at Offutt for about 6.5 years. But one of the things I really contemplate is that as we think about Jesus calling not only Peter and Andrew and James and John and the other disciples, they weren't all perfect people. And so I'm up here very humbly and knowing that at times I'm unworthy to be a priest, but God calls me to some task that is beyond our comprehension. But God calls us because he sees incredible potential that we don't know about. God not only wants to use our gifts, but sometimes he uses our imperfections and our faults to help us grow. And then thirdly, it is God who then somehow tries to help us expand not only our vocation, which all of us have, but he wants us also to know that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is quite large. And so we think about Jesus' first disciples, they were fishermen, and he especially told Peter and Andrew that I'm going to make you fishers of men. But he also kind of reminded them that their scope of what they would do and their ministry would be larger than even the Sea of Galilee, that it's the world. And sometimes when we think about our faith, we can think very small, but God always thinks on terms of magnificence and something that is great, which is his kingdom. And thus he calls all of us then to seek his light, to follow him, and also to serve. My hope is that as we look at our own lives, and especially for young people, that to know that God sometimes uses different people, he uses his voice in so many different ways to somehow not only call us to be his disciples, but especially to serve in very particular ways because he knows us and he wants us to use our gifts wherein we can too be light and hope and strength for God's people. Let us together praise God and ask that God would also empower others to think about this gift, that we may continue to be God's church on earth.